Leviticus, right? Everybody's favorite book of the Bible. Show of hands. Not what I was expecting. The book of Leviticus unpacks so much of what we just saw, what we just read, what we just heard about a few weeks ago, the Ten Commandments that God gave to his people at Mount Sinai. And it does so much more than that. It seems to cover just about anything that you might possibly be able to think of. It can make for some laborious reading, and there's a few things in there that may not make all that much sense to us. A couple of good examples would be wearing a shirt with two different kinds of cloth. Big no-no. Having your steak medium rare, also a big no-no in Leviticus. There are certain things in the book that don't make a whole lot of sense to us. There are certain things that hit the nail right on the head that we can understand and grasp and put to practice. As we look at the whole deal, the whole book, it's important for us to remember back to God's plan and his promise to make sense of it. On bringing the people up out of Egypt, God once again promised them that they would be his special people. In fact, he uses the word treasured possession, a people through whom he would work to bring his holiness, to bring his justice, to bring his restoration to his people, to all the peoples of the world, and to the entire creation. They would be different. They would be set apart. Because God had made them that way, and because God was going to work through them. For God's word to his people, being different, especially in Leviticus, is what it's all about. Sticking out, not fitting in. It's all about God creating a peculiar people and showing them how to live. Chapter 19, our text for today, is a gem. It sticks out in a very true sense. It brings together so much of what the whole book is all about. The chapter begins with a very familiar refrain. You'll be set apart or holy because I am holy, says God. After each set of rules for living, we hear again and again, why? Because I am the Lord your God. For our text today, that's enough. It's simple. It's succinct. You will be a different people. You will stick out in the world. You will be peculiar. Why? I am the Lord. No more, no less. It's almost as if the people of God, back in the days of Leviticus, and even us today, need that sort of reminder from time to time. Sometimes the rules might not make sense. My shirt, someone else's steak. Why not? I am the Lord. Okay. Sometimes the rules might hurt. They might cause pain. They might be difficult to grasp. It might be hard to live differently than the world around us. Think of the ministry of Jesus. Think of the heartache and strife that he went through as he preached the good news of the kingdom. Sometimes it can be awfully difficult to follow the way God has called. It's in those difficult times that we need these sorts of reminders. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the Creator. I'm the one who's made you to be my very own, and I've called you to stick out in the world. In our text today, we run across a few absolutely riveting, fantastic, and challenging sets of rules for living as God's people. In the first, really can kind of make you scratch your head at first. Those who produce crops are told they only get one walk through the harvest field. And even then,
they're to leave the edges of the field untouched.
The edges of the field remain untouched. The middle of the harvest field is only harvested from once, because for the set-apart people of God, the edges of the field and anything that's left after one harvest is set apart for the poor and for the immigrant among the people. Now, most of us these days don't work in agriculture, but I think there's something to be learned here that crosses industry lines. Many of us have opportunities, all sorts of opportunities in front of us. As the day begins, we're filled with a day full of opportunities, whether that be to go to work and have gainful employment, whether that be to have a full stomach, plenty of food, a comfortable place to rest at night. We have lots and lots of opportunities. Leaving some of the harvest behind was always all about giving opportunity to those who didn't have it, those who weren't landowners, and there were very few landowners. For those folks, those who had were called to leave their fields and allow the poor, the immigrant, to come through and have the opportunity to eat, to the opportunity to have employment that would feed them and their families. This was baked in to what it always meant to be the people of God, to provide opportunity to those who didn't have it. And that's what comes across here from the context today from our text, is that we can be a people who create opportunity for one another. We can be a people who look for and search out ways that we can make sure that those who don't have among us have opportunity. Those who are new neighbors among us are welcomed for the opportunities that they came here searching for. The next place in our text that's really begging for some of our attention this morning is one that really sums up the whole. Verse 18, it reads, "You're not to hate, but you're to reprove or encourage in a positive sort of direction. You're not to hold a grudge or to take vengeance, but instead, you're to love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus called that last one of the two greatest commandments. And it seems simple enough, right? The golden rule, as it's often put, is probably the most well-known rule for treating one another across the world, across cultures, across religions, across just about any barrier. Folks know this exact sort of rule. It's simple, it's easy to remember, but it is perhaps much more difficult to live. If we slow down a bit as we think about what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's helpful to think about two things, about means and about measure. What I mean by that is that Jesus' call to love our neighbors, which he repeats from our Leviticus text, is a call that asks us to love our neighbors in the same sort of ways that we love ourselves and to the same measure. It can be a beautiful yet sometimes quite difficult thing. If I am called to love my neighbor as myself, then the very things that I do to care for myself and for my family provide the guidelines for the things that I'm called to do to love my neighbor, the stranger, and even an enemy. A few challenging examples come to mind. If my dinner plate is full, then I'm called to love my neighbor and making sure that there's food available for those who don't have it. If I have a safe and comfortable place to rest at night, then it's my call as one who loves my neighbor to work for and try to secure comfortable, safe, restful housing for those who don't have it. If I enjoy access to health care, it's something that I'm called to help my neighbor secure as well. If it's good or helpful for me and my family, then it's good or helpful for my neighbor. And to love one's neighbor as oneself means seeking out and working for those same things. There are, of course, all sorts of conversations about these sorts of things. Many of them wind up being political or whatever. But the great thing about our Leviticus text today is it doesn't leave a whole lot of room for red, green, blue, purple, or otherwise. It's very simple. You love your neighbor as yourself. Why? I am the Lord. No more, no less. Love your neighbor as yourself, not because it's efficient, not because it's good for the economy, not to make sure you get yourself taken care of first, not any of those things, but simply because I am the Lord. I've made you who you are. I've called you to this different way of life. It's through you that the world knows my love. And that's really what it's all about. It's not about blue, red, green, or purple. It's about love. That's it. It's about the people of God being the people that he's called us to be, the people that he's made us to be in our baptism. Black, white, or tan, the call is to love, first, foremost, and only. The world needs the love of Jesus. Here in Kansas City, we know well that plates are often empty, that families often sleep in cars. Some 240 miles away in Ferguson, Missouri, a community has been torn apart by racial tension and violence. At the borders of our nation, folks gather, some welcoming, some holding signs that say, "Go away to little kids seeking refuge from war zones." In Palestine and Israel, rockets are being fired and neighborhoods are being bombed. In Iraq, our brothers and sisters in Christ are dying for their faithfulness to Jesus. The world needs the love of Jesus. The world needs a new way of life. You will love your neighbor as yourself in means and in measure. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. It starts here. It starts here with us as we care for one another in the same way and to the same measure that we care for ourselves and our own families. It starts here with us as we, as a church community, as one people, love those outside of our walls in the same way and to the same measure that we love ourselves. It starts here with us as we show the world a new way to live. As God's Spirit works in and through us to spread the good news of his kingdom and his love through his people. It's what the story's always been about, even Leviticus, about sticking out in the world, about showing the world another way, a better way, a way of love. Amen.